Welcome to another episode of the Blue Crew, a New York Rangers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, joined by my good friend, as always, Cody Frankel. We got a great interview today with former New York Ranger and current NHL media member, Brian Boyle. Unbelievable time talking to him, even though, Cody, you missed that one. Avery was on it with me. Avery is not here for the intro today, and for whatever reason, Cody and Avery don't get on at the same time anymore.
I hate that kid, honestly.
I don't know what's going on, but
dude, he's honestly, it's better this way. I mean, he's just he's like a little gnat. It's better this way.
Okay, we'll keep it this way, but I'm sure once the season kind of gets going, the three of us will be on together. But Cody, what's going on with you, man? I feel like we haven't talked in a couple weeks.
Dude, football Sunday, baby. That's all that needs to be going on. I'm hyped. Freaking hyped. I know the Jets play tomorrow, but well, I guess today by the time this episode comes out, but I'm pumped, man. And you know, fantasy's in full swing and the grind is beginning.
Before football does like fully kick off though, did you get watching the US Open? Like I'm so upset that the US Open's gonna be over. Like I have watched probably like 20 complete matches.
Really?
And there's nothing like it, man. The US Open's so fucking cool.
To be quite honest, I haven't watched one match. Actually, that's not true. That's not true. I watched one match.
Which one?
The quarterfinals, Alcaraz. It's a great sport. I used to watch it a lot more when I was younger. Don't have time now, honestly. Just don't have time. But I do want to try and watch the finals if I can. But football takes significant precedence. So,
all right, let me ask you a question, which is probably a dumb one. Who do you think has a more successful season this year, the Jets or the Rangers?
Why do you say that's a dumb one?
Just because I feel like
you think it'll be the
right
Jets
now. The Jets might be in a better position from what I mean. I don't really watch football that closely, so I don't know. I feel like the Jets just seem like the obvious answer.
The crazy part is they're both contenders, which is like I've never seen in my lifetime. Like you know, if you want to allude to 2012, like yeah, the Rangers were. But the Jets did make that AFC championship run, but they were never like, you know, nobody was like the Jets might win the Super Bowl. Like this year, I don't think people are going there yet because, you know, they haven't played a game with this squad. But I think, you know, playoffs for sure should be a lock, as long as their O-line holds up, you know, Rodgers doesn't get hurt and things like that. And then, you know, football, once you get into playoffs, I mean, anything can happen. It's one game, do or die against any team. I don't know. I don't know, honestly. I think immediate thoughts would probably be the Jets slightly, but I don't think it's as much as, like, you would assume. Like, I'm still very not out on the Rangers. It seems like a lot of people are. I'm, you know, their teams fall short in the playoffs all the time. Okay. Tampa got upset to Columbus as the one seed and then won the cup the next year. So it's like, you know, I don't think you can look at the Rangers just losing to the Devils and say like, you know, a lot of people seem to be out on them and I'm not one of those people. So, so I will say slightly the Jets, but wouldn't be surprised if the Rangers have the better season.
Well, as far as the roster goes, do the Jets have like more talented players than the Rangers do? Or no,
the Jets are stacked at every single position. It's actually insane. It's insane. Kind of similar, but I would probably say yeah, just because they have so many. I mean, the Rangers have a lot of superstars too. So I don't know. It's really hard to compare because football, their roster's like 40 dudes more. So it's not a fair comparison. But if you're asking me who I think will go further than the Jets or the Giants, like the Jets, it's not even a question. And I actually like the Giants a lot. I really do. You know, whenever the Jets are out or whatever, I always will root for the Giants. They're like probably the one New York team that I mean, I don't really care about the Mets that much, but like they're the one New York team that I'm like cool rooting with too. But I do think they're going to have a significant regression from last year. So,
well, let's switch gears for just a second. And I want to ask you how incredible it felt this weekend just to see the city packed again. Like, it really is crazy. I mean, I don't know if you saw it. Like, I was out yesterday just, like, walking around, and it felt like there was, like, a million people around.
Dude, it's never not been packed. What are you talking about?
No, I feel like the summer – I've been here on the weekends and the summers, and it doesn't seem like there's anything going on.
I mean, maybe in Brooklyn.
The difference from last Saturday to this Saturday in Brooklyn was actually
last Saturday. Well, okay, let's rewind because I think
I guess Labor Day weekend.
So I think if you're talking about one of the three holidays like MDW, Labor Day, or July 4th, then yes, sure. But any other weekend in the city, like, dude, there people are around, man. Like, I don't know. I mean, but yes, the city's definitely back in full swing, and I cannot wait for fall because fall is my favorite out of anything. You got pumpkin season. You got
that's what you could lead it off with.
Yeah, you got football, and you know, you got Thanksgiving. I guess is technically part of fall too. So
yeah, no, it's definitely part of fall, not technically.
Yeah.
I don't really got much to talk about, dude.
And flannel season.
Yeah, flannel season is hype, actually. Do you have anything to talk about, or should we just send it over to Brian Boyle?
Well, I think the one thing we should talk about is the season starts October 11th.
The NHL season or the Rangers?
Yeah, NHL.
Rangers are the 12th, but the NHL,
Rangers are the 12th. So going into this season, consider a successful season for the New York Rangers.
Like just regular season, or are you obviously saying playoffs too?
I'm talking – no, because regular season, as much as we want it to matter, it doesn't matter. They're going to get in the playoffs, and then from there, that's what matters. We saw that firsthand last season. So, like, you know, full-on season, like, what do you consider as a successful season for the Rangers? And then, you know, if it's not a successful season, what do you think their next steps from here should be?
If they don't make the playoffs, that's a huge fucking issue in itself.
There's no way they're not making the playoffs. There's just no way.
Dude, it's possible. The East is strong.
There's absolutely no way.
I mean, I don't think they won't, but I definitely think it's possible.
I don't think it's possible.
Whereas last year, I did not think it was possible. But I think they have to get to the conference final for it to be a successful season. But with that said, I think it could still be a successful season if they don't get there, just based on how, like, Kako and Lafreniere perform.
Okay.
Like, let's say both those guys put up, like, you know, 50, 60 points, and this team loses in the second round. I'd say that's a successful season. I would.
So if that happens, when do you put a cup mandate on this team? Or do you think there's a cup mandate on this team this
year? I think the cup mandate's on, for sure.
Agreed.
But the expectation and like what you call a successful season, I still think is different.
Okay.
I still think there are, you know, plenty of teams that have success that don't win the cup. Like last year, Florida, you know, that's a successful season for Florida.
But Florida made the playoffs on the last game of the season, and they were never supposed to, you know, were underwhelming all season long. And then, and the funny thing is, I said this to you,
President's Trophy the year before.
Well, that's what I said to you the very beginning of the season. I said, dude, watch it. Like throughout the season, I said, watch out for Florida, because if they get hot, they have the most high powered offense in the league behind the Bruins, and they're a sneaky good team.
But I think, like, I'm trying to, you know, the Devils last year, successful season.
Yeah.
You know, but it's all about the hype and the expectation. But I think, you know, Rangers are definitely in a cup or bust mode right now. But I don't like think there's that much pressure this year. Like next year, I would say has way more value or stock, I think, for the 2024-25 season. Like that should be the year where, like, it has to be now.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I kind of think a lot of pressure's on them this season. They just hired a new coach.
For sure.
Like they're hiring this guy to take them to the next level to win. They're not hiring him to like ease in for a year. Like they're straight up, that Laviolette signing was strictly because they feel this team can win the cup and they want them to win the cup this year. And if they, you know, if they wanted them to ease into it and give it a year and then go for it next year, they would have hired Jay Leach or Hartford. Yeah, because dude, it's another year of development. Okay. Hire a development coach who grows Kako and Laff, and from there they move on. Right. So I don't know.
As far as like easing into it, I still think it's going to take 20 games for like Laviolette. You know, they're going to ease into this season too. It's not like it's full throttle right from the jump. Like there's going to be a lot of adjustments that need to be made and, you know, a lot of combinations that they're going to try out and whatnot. And it's not like it's, you know, if they don't win this year, it's over. You know, I think and correct me if I'm wrong here, I'm 99% sure the Rangers missed the playoffs the year before they won the cup in 94.
They did.
So, you know, and Vegas missed the playoffs last year. So, like, it's just so weird how this shit all works. You know, it's wild how teams go on these runs.
I mean, you know, you think about it, right? But it's like, it's really, you know, 60% skill, 15% goaltending, and like 30% luck. And I don't know if that adds up or
what the fuck was that?
But dude, think about it. It's 60% your roster and your talent, and then it's like 30% luck, and then I guess 10%.
Where are you coming up with this shit?
You don't think playoffs are a significant amount of like puck luck and things like that? Like, you don't think that? Because I do.
I don't know. I don't fully agree, but I see what you're saying.
Listen,
I see what you're saying.
Skill takes a significant amount, and it is a major part of winning a cup, right? But I also think there's a good amount of luck that has to go your way, and things have to go perfectly.
I'd say there's maybe like two instances on a playoff run where like there's luck that happens. Maybe twice.
Okay, and both of those can be in game sevens, and if they didn't go your way, you're out.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. Yeah, I guess there's no rebuttal to that argument.
Yeah,
but
it's true. It's
hilarious how you said it.
Yeah, because I said 105%, but that's fine.
Yeah, I got nothing. I think the fans want to hear from Brian Boyle. All right, let's send it over to Brian Boyle. Hope you guys enjoy it. He's the fucking man, so enjoy listening. This week on the Blue Crew, we are very pumped to welcome on someone that I was lucky enough to meet during the Stanley Cup final, but a huge fan growing up watching the Rangers. He spent 5 years with the New York Rangers. Now he's a father of five, recently twins, so congrats on that. Welcome to the show, number 22, Brian Boyle. We're just going to call you Boiler. How's it going?
Perfect. It's going good. Couple crazy days the last week or so, but it's been really, really good. It's a little bit less sleep, but a lot more fun.
Yeah, you got a full starting lineup now in the house, huh?
Squad, yeah. I need a goalie, but I don't want one. So I don't want to really a goalie. They're crazy.
So I imagine your summer has been pretty nuts. Now that the kids are born, everyone's healthy. What do you got planned before the season gets going here?
Well, so like my 8-year-old season starts tomorrow or Saturday. It's like we've had practice the last 2 weeks and they went to school this week, which is great. They weren't as thrilled, but it's been a good first week for them in school. Now we get, you know, 2 6-pound babies we got to keep a close eye on, but probably keep more of a close eye on our 20-month-old who is a kind of a weapon running around the house like a maniac, trying to get his hands on them, giving them a hug. I'll be going down to Secaucus a little bit, doing some stuff with the NHL Network, probably in October, though I think I have all September off to kind of get settled in with the new crew of five.
Listen, you're definitely giving yourself a chance to produce some future NHLers there with five. I mean, the Boyle family, you guys have to rent out probably ballrooms when you have family reunions. How many family members you got right now?
I have no idea. I mean, a lot. Isla and Killian are 27 and 28 grandkids from my parents. So they're number 27 and 28.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's a complete gong show. You know, and pretty, you know, all the grandkids anyways, if they're not in school or, but they're pretty local. So within like 3 or 4 towns of each other. And, you know, it's been, it was cool last year being around for more holidays and stuff. Obviously I'd rather be playing, but seeing like my kids interact with their cousins and stuff was pretty, pretty fun. And they're just going to keep doing that. They're going to grow up. And, you know, I have cousins that have, nieces and nephews that have graduated college already. And then we got, you know, the newborns run around, so it's there's never a dull moment, I guess you could say.
That's awesome.
I don't really have a big family myself, but you know, obviously I'm sure it's chaotic, but I do got to say one thing before we just kind of continue this interview, and I'd be doing my mom injustice if I didn't say it. Out of every New York Ranger, I'm 27 years old, so I've been watching the Rangers for probably like 22 years of my life. She has the biggest crush on you out of anyone who's ever put the uniform on. So how does that make you feel that you're over Hank in my mom's man crush ranking?
Hank's overrated anyways. I'm flattered. Tell your mother thank you very much.
Yeah. She watched HBO 24/7 probably like twice every episode that it came on, especially the one with your family that you just mentioned. I think you had that big party on HBO, right?
Yeah, we went to our sister's house, and she has 8 kids. So they don't ever want to hear me complain, but we went there. There's probably like 10 or 12 more beaten hearts running around now than there used to be, even since that aired. Like, was that 10 years ago, maybe, or 11 years, maybe longer?
I think it was 2012, right? Yeah, it's
over geez, a decade ago.
Yeah. Time flies. But I got to mention one of my favorite parts from that. It might be your least favorite part from that whole series. You know, you got a big family. I'm sure they're all sitting around watching it at night together. And the part where Torts comes on and rips you guys and goes,
with Kessel, and if you have a chance, finish him. He's a good player, but don't shit your pants on him. Hey, don't play off of him. We got to still try to take time and space from him. And more importantly, it's the players away from the puck. Brian Boyle, we've done that fucking coverage all fucking year long. Get that fucking mic on, you can't fucking think straight.
Brian Boyle, we've done the same fucking D-zone coverage all year long. You got a microphone on, you can't think straight. What was the family group text like after that came on HBO? Because I imagine it's pretty funny.
Hysterical. My dad. So we skated. You know, they filmed that, and you get past it. Weeks later, it airs or whatever it was. And we're skating around doing, like, the Indy 500 before the practice starts, and I just grabbed him. I was like, Torts, like, did you watch the episode? He goes, yeah, I did. And I think he thought I was going to come at him with something. And I was like, my old man could not stop laughing when you teed me up. And I'm sure, I don't know. I mean, you probably hear this, and it's almost cliche at this point, but I think kids kind of might grow up a little different. Like, I'm one of 13. I've been teed up quite a few times in my life by whether it's a teacher, a parent, or a coach. So, and the funniest part was, like, he was right. I'm like, yeah, I can't. I'm a moron. I don't know why. And it was Kessel. Kessel, like, pulled up at the blue line. We're playing Toronto, and I couldn't. I just didn't do. I just was like a 5-year-old. I'm like, oh, there's the puck. I'm going to go at it. And I just, like, they pass it right by me. And right when they did, I'm like, I'm going to get yelled at for that. And then Hank bailed me out, as he did a lot. And so, you know, no harm done, but it provided some pretty good content. Torts, don't let Torts fool you. He loves the media, loves it, loves the camera. I'm going to go on record saying that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I bet you there's a ton of more moments that didn't make the cut, but I'm assuming Torts always liked to tee guys up like that.
You know what? He didn't. I don't think he wanted to go at guys, but if he gave you a chance and then he spoke with you, and then, you know, your leash would get a little shorter. And that's just kind of how he ran everything. And if you gave him a lot of good games or a lot of good minutes in a row, and then the game started to slip, he'd let you know kind of, you know, hard right away. Like, don't let this happen. Then he'd leave you alone to let you work it out. You might not play perfect, but, like, the whole misconception, you see him screaming. It was just like, you know, 20 guys, 23 guys. At some point, somebody's been going to go through a rough stretch, and he's going to either try and prevent that by getting in there early, or he's going to try and scream at you to get mad at him and will you to do something good. So that's just how he did things. I really loved it. I mean, he made me an NHL player and still have a really good relationship with him.
Yeah, we're talking behind the scenes moments, and this is one viral video that I had to ask about. It involves Brandon Dubinsky. I'm sure you know exactly what I'm going to ask about. You guys got into a little scuffle in a practice one time. It went viral. No. And I just need to know what happened there.
So that was like a optional practice. I remember this clearly. And
optional, like player optional?
Yeah, and I think that was my first year there. So I was playing like 14 seconds a night. And I was like, oh, I gotta get the reps. And Doobie was coming back from a broken hand. And my problem wasn't really with Doobie. It was with a couple other guys on the team. And it was just kind of boiling over. It was getting to the point where I was obviously not playing great, didn't have a good first year there, and really trying to figure out who I was as a player. And it was just, it's frustrating. You go through that, and Doobie was kind of poking me a little bit, like joking around, because me and Doobie were close. We still are. So I whack his stick. Like, that was the last, like, breaking point. And I was just like, the next guy that touches me, I'm going to lose my shit here. And obviously Doobie's not going to let me slash the stick. So we kind of get into it. And I have him, like, held out where I could just start kind of giving it to him. But he had a broken hand. So I'm like, not a fight. Like, if you try to punch me, you're going to break your hand again. And we need you to play. Like, he's a really good player for us. And then, but then he hit me. And then I was like, all right, well, I guess we're going to maybe go. And I was just like, what the hell's he doing? And then Voros came in. And I really kind of wanted to fight him. So then I really kind of lost my shit. And, you know, there was other times too. Like, I remember doing something in practice that I got yelled at for it by like Jim Schoenfeld, who I love. I love Shoney. And I remember I see Cali do it a lot in practice. It was just playing hard. It wasn't anything. And Shoney yells at me and someone else yells at me. I just turned to Shoney and I screamed at him. I'm like pointing at Cali and I go, "Your golden boy does it every single time. He can't do anything wrong, can he?" So Shoney starts laughing. Cali's like, "What? Why did I get the ricochet shot?" And then I skated off the ice. And our team was so close that they just kind of knew how I operated. And they were just like, "What is wrong with you?" I'm like, I don't. Just needed a sec there. Sorry, guys.
You know,
everything was fine right after. Me and Doobie, I was like, "Doobie, why are you giving me shit when I'm trying to like..." He goes, "Don't take it so seriously. I'm trying to like calm you down." It was great. He was like, "I'm on your side. Like, I want you to play well." And I'm like, "Well, don't break your hand again on my helmet, you dummy." And but it was a funny. I remember seeing that pops up once in a while on social media. And
yeah, not like, that last week.
Yeah, people don't realize what actually happened.
Yeah,
people don't realize what I really could have done and wanted to do, and I kind of controlled myself. Thank God.
Well, it looked like a dad holding his kid. Like, you were so much taller than him, and he could barely get a punch on you because he was like reaching over and you're grabbing him. So
he's a really, really tough kid too. And
oh yeah,
he could throw both ways. But I was just with the kid. There were times where if I got mad enough, I don't know. I was just gonna start killing someone, but I didn't. I kept it in check.
All time video.
I'm curious to ask. You know, obviously, you said you were tight with Doobie when you played here. Like, where were you living? Who were you living with? Like, guys you hung out with away from the rink? Because you were, you know, pretty young during your time in New York. So I imagine you had a good social life years here before you locked down with five kids now.
Yeah. I met my wife there. It's funny, you know, Michael Delzato, congrats to him on his career. Me and him lived together our first year in New York. And we were on the Upper West Side. And then we lived in different apartments on the Upper West Side the next year. I was in a building with Stepan and Eminger. And he was like a block over. But he had met a girl who was friends with my wife and or had known my wife, and we had gotten together a couple times, and you know, that's just how I kind of met my current wife now in New York. But we ran into each other a couple times that year, and then the following year my wife and I started dating. It was so Mike was the matchmaker there.
Where was the first date? What's a first date like with Brian Boyle? Gotta hear that one.
Oh geez, man, don't
We're putting like, the relationship on the spot.
Yeah. I haven't slept in like a week, but so we'd hung out a couple times. It wasn't just her and I going for a date. We actually met like and hung out the first time. We were at like the St. Paul's Church on I think it was on right by Fordham on maybe 9th Avenue. And then we grabbed a bite or we grabbed some pizza after that. And then we went bowling.
Yeah. Couldn't do any better than that, huh?
Well, it's like, you know, if you're good, it's kind of like, hey, I'm good at bowling. Who really gives a shit? But if you're terrible like me, it's kind of self-deprecating and you can kind of, you know, I don't know. It kind of all happened organically, I guess.
Yeah. We're actually a dating podcast now, so we're just going to dive into the relationship.
I don't know how to date or speak to. I mean, I just do what I'm told around here. And we yeah, she's, you know, she's on the mend. Hopefully we can get out for a date, her and I, at one point soon.
Being a Ranger in the city is obviously something that, you know, you get recognized all the time. But being someone of your height, you probably got recognized a lot more, no?
Yeah, you know, Mr. Dolan knew who I was, which I thought was a
win. There you go.
You know, it was cool when we went on, like, playoff runs and stuff, and you'd be walking on an off day to grab dinner or grab even – whatever during the day. Like, I remember fire trucks would go by and beeping the horn and you know, getting their siren going and pointing at me. You know, the city, you felt the city behind you, which was unbelievable. Like, a place that big, you blend in easy and you don't really think people give a shit, but when you start winning, they love it.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of that, like, I wanted to bring up your 2012 series against Ottawa. I mean, you scored in the first three games. I think I actually, like, you know, that was back when Facebook was a thing. I think I made a Facebook status calling you Boyle Gretzky. But, you know, talk about that series. You know, you were in the mix in every single aspect of the game, right? Like, you know, Matt Karkner, we can get into that in a bit, because he was actually my neighbor when he played for the Islanders. And when I first met him, I asked him about when he jumped you. And I was like a 14-year-old kid. But, yeah, I mean, can you just talk about that 2012 run, starting with the Ottawa series, because you were on fire, like, in every aspect of the game.
That was the best hockey, for sure, I'd played at that point. And I don't know what it was, but the year before, I had a really good year. And then that playoff, I didn't have any points, and we lost in five to Washington the year before. I had, like, 25 shots on net in five games. Like, I was like, the playoffs are all I cared about. And the next year, you know, we signed Richie. We had – it was kind of a different thing. I was really more defensive. And I had, like, four or five goals. And I wasn't, like, worried about the goals, really, but it was kind of to the point where I'm like, I should have at least 15 goals right now. I was getting chances. Mm-hmm. It just didn't make sense. And, you know, you hear it. It was like, oh, 1 year, he got 20. It's a fluke. He's never going to score a goal again. And I was just kind of like – I let that kind of get to me. And then, after the trade deadline, we kind of got our team settled. We had lines. I was like, I'm going to go off. And then I think it was like five goals in my last, whatever, nine games and during the regular season. We were trying to get the President's Trophy. And then that series started, and I was just like, I don't care who you are. I'm going to try to run you through anything the first period of game one. And it turned out like I really started – pissing some people off. I was like, Chris Neal, I'm going after you. And I kind of ran him a few times pretty hard. And that guy, like, I got a lot of respect for him. He is sick tough, like crazy. So tough. Because I got him a few times real good, and I was like, he's not getting up, and he's mm-hmm. buzzing around running guys. And so I got a couple goals. And then there was a play that happened in game one where Prusty had two guys on him behind the net, and Carlson wouldn't let me get to him. He was like pushing me off. And so Presti's getting 2-on-1, and that guy had everyone's back, especially mine, like for the 2 years that we played together. So I'm like, 2+ years anyway. So I'm like, I couldn't do anything to get around like Carlson because the net was there and the goalie was there. So I just kind of pulled his hair a little bit and gave him a nuggie. And
I remember
it was
that.
Just kind of like, you know, beat it, you little guy. And I was just wanting to get in there and help Presti because I think it was like Phillips and somebody else who was fairly big. And they didn't like that. And then so Gilroy's on the other team, and, you know, he had played with us in mm-hmm. New York before that. And he's just like, just be ready. And a text message. I'm like, oh, shit. And I see Karkner warming up. And I'm like, this guy can't play. You know, he's terrible. And he's just yelling at me. Konopka's yelling at me. He could play, but he was tough. And he's yelling at me. And I'm like, easy not for, like, but a lot of respect for him. And then Karkner just grabs me and suckers me. So I go down, and I'm like, I'm not going to fight Karkner. I'm feeling it right now. I'm buzzing. I'm scoring goals. And later in that game, I ended up scoring. But then Neil put me, like, into outer space with a hit. His helmet got me right in the jaw in game five, and I was noodles. Like, he knocked me clean out. I don't remember that game at all. The whole game, oh, really? And I got hit in the third period. Yeah.
Holy shit.
He crushed me. I've never been hit like that in my life.
Yeah, that guy was a house.
Yeah, he's nails. Mm-hmm. Now, Karkner, like, he couldn't play. He just was going to try and knock me out. And look, they made it a 7-game series. Like, yeah. McLean's a good coach. He knew what he was doing. And they shouldn't have been. It shouldn't have been a 7-game series. We were clearly a much better team, but they did what they could, which is why playoff hockey is like so electric. People talk about that series all the time.
Yeah, that series is like my intro to playoff hockey. I mean, that was. I think I'd been to one playoff game before that. I went like in 08 to game one against the Devils or something, and. You know, I just remember, like, you know, first time Madison Square Garden playoff hockey. And that was a time, too, where I think the Ranger fans started, like, that Alfie sucks chant when the 11-minute mark came on the clock, too. Because
Ottawa did it. Ottawa did it up there for him.
Yeah.
Dude, Carl Hagelin got suspended for hitting him. That was a joke. they botched that. They botched a few things in that series.
I mean, yeah, that whole run, though, you know, obviously the second round against Washington, you guys kind of exercised the demon from the year before, and then we all know what happens in the conference final. But can you talk about just being a young guy in New York and, like, going through a playoff run and what it does to your social life and just, I guess, the pressure you feel from New York fans? Because now, you know, we're talking about a city that's fucking starving for a championship. It's been over a decade, and the Ranger players right now can somewhat start to feel that from the fans. And, you know, I know you've seen Ranger fans now that you're in the media as well. And, you know, it's not an easy place to play. So if you can just touch on that run a little bit and what it means to play here and something like that.
I mean, look, there's no easy game in the league. And you could, I mean, It's hard to play well in Arizona, if you're going to ask me, like, you know, or wherever, or, you know, Anaheim, wherever. It's NHL teams are playing against NHL teams. So the stuff outside, the noise, like, you kind of ignore it until you need it. And that's what we did pretty well when we were, you know, those 5 years I was there, you know, four of them anyway. And we, you know, we hear it, we get used to it. We knew it was like, you know, have a couple bad games in a row. You're like, oh, what are they going to write about today? It's like, you know, it's coming. And we did a really good job of being like, yeah, it's, you know, it's in here. Like, can you look at your teammate and be like, I gave you everything? Can your coach come in and be like, you're doing what I'm asking you to do? Yeah, you'll get out of it that way. That's kind of how we focused on it. And then when we needed the fans, like in those playoff games, that game seven, mm-hmm. right, against Ottawa, the place was electric. And then we get a goal from like Dan Girardi and Mark Stahl, I think, scored. I don't know. Dan, I think Danny G definitely scored. I forget. I thought Stahl's got the other one, but I could be wrong. But we went 2-0 or something. It was like, mm-hmm. it came from everybody. We used the fans when it was going. And then, like, as I know this sounds probably boring, but as the playoffs go on, it's like either game day or you're resting. Like, you're not like, oh, what are we doing tonight? Where are we going? If you win a series in four or five games, which we never did, you might have a couple nights off. But we didn't do that. So it was just kind of like just the boys. Like, we're doing this, playing cards. We're team dinner before games, every home and away. Everybody's there. Even, like, Black Aces were there. Like, we brought all the boys together. And the team was, when they say first class, like, there's 40 guys at dinner, 35 mm-hmm. guys at dinner, and they're paying for it for the in the playoffs. Like, it's top-notch stuff. So we're all like, let's take advantage of this because this team's not going to be the same next year no matter what happens.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, you kind of mentioned a little bit how you guys just were never able to really close out a series early. Was that just something that I always struggle with as like a Ranger fan, not understanding how that goes down. is it just like the ebbs and flows kind of thing? Or, you know, I don't really know how to phrase this question because it's so hard to ask, but at the same time, it's like,
no, it's right there. Like, I mean, yeah, it's true. Like, but when we were our best, like even that, when we went to the Cup Finals, like our leading scorer had 60 points. Yeah. We were by committee, right? So it was like, everything we did was by committee. So every game, there weren't any blowouts really, you know, that 1 year we beat Wash was like, we won 5-0. It's a tight game in the first, a couple goals go in and then we blew it open in the second and the third. But I was like, well, geez, where was that? Well, let's bring it into the next game. And for whatever reason, we were such a team built on like intensity and details like that, that if we let up a tiny, tiny bit, our whole game went to shit. And, you know, that was a great way to win games and get in the playoffs and even win playoff series. But, you know, that 1 year we went to – we lost to Jersey, it was kind of like we ran out of gas. Like we had – like Jersey was – if you dumped it in too soft, they knocked it down. If you dumped it in too hard, Marty would stop it and break them out. And we just couldn't get it going. And then our D zone, we collapsed so much that we kind of bag-skated ourselves into a tough series, which we lost a couple overtime games and – you know, it's the way she goes, but we got to, you know, we were one of four teams left, and it's really hard to win. Oh, so yeah. I don't know why, like, we had game breakers. We had Nasher. We had Marin Gaborik. You know, we had we got Marty and obviously Hank, but we were built from Hank out, and if our details weren't absolutely perfect, it was tough.
It's such a narrative now amongst Ranger fans, like especially the last two seasons, because, you know, obviously you played against them last year up 2-0 against Tampa. They blow that lead up 2-0 this year against Jersey. They blow that lead. They just, for whatever reason, you know, you've been a part of it too, where Rangers just can't put teams away. I know there was one series against Pitt back in like 2016 where Hagelin had that like game five overtime winner, but, you know, for whatever reason, that is a narrative now and it's annoying to talk about, but just rewinding a little bit, back to 2014, we've had a lot of guys on here from those teams and those runs, but something we've actually never asked was being in the room when everything went down with Marty St. Louis and that comeback and just how special that was, you know, in regard to the run. Can you talk about just like that moment and like being down 3-1 in that series and just rallying around St. Louis? Because we haven't really heard, you know, firsthand that story and that vibe.
Well, you know, thank the schedulers for putting us in Philly in back-to-back games 6 and 7. And then game one was like two nights later. So we played 6 games in 9 nights. We snuck out game one against Pitt, thank God, because we would have got swept. We didn't really have much, and we didn't play our best. And then we lost 3 in a row because we had nothing. We were exhausted. Mm-hmm. And then we had a couple days. But as we land, our plane touches down, Marty gets a phone call. And it was like, you know, it's a scene that, you know, I don't really want to talk about too much.
Of course. Yeah, of course.
We all heard it. And we're all sitting there. And we're like, holy shit. And, you know, your focus shifts from being down 3-1. It's like, oh, man, like, we just lost 3-0. Are we going to get, like, you know, embarrassed here? And it shifts to, like, yeah, all right, what are we going to do? And we all, like, went to the hotel. We checked in. We kind of tried to figure out what was going on. And Marty, I don't know if he got off the plane. The plane took him right to Montreal, which, like, again, what teams do that? Like, oh, yeah, take our plane. We'll go right now. And then, you know, so we go in on game day because we had a couple days and we're just getting out of the city. We go in on game day. I was on an early bus, or I might have taken a cab. And I walk in, because I think it was in the afternoon, and Marty's getting out of the shower. And I'm like, well, I didn't, no one expect him to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he puts a towel on, he gives him a hug. It's kind of a weird hug. I'm 6'6", he's 5'2". I'm like, I can't believe you're here. I'm so sorry, man. He's like, thank you so much, Ball. He's like, I got to play. She would want me to play. And, you know, we win game five to give ourselves some life. Game six on Mother's Day, he scores a goal off his pants. Like, guy scored so many beautiful goals. And, you know, he just goes to the net because he probably took every ounce of energy just to go. He's like, might as well just stand here and hit some, goes in. You know, and then we go back. We have a game seven. We win it. And it's kind of like, what just happened? Like, it was the coolest thing seeing him score that goal, like hearing the garden. Like, we all kind of went home after, and I'm like watching the replay, listening to, I think it was Kenny Albert. I forget who was on the call on NBC. It was just like, it was surreal. It was like storybook stuff. We were just like, we got it. Like, we're gonna win the cup. And that's like the belief you have to have.
Yeah.
Damn, I got chills there because that Marty St. Louis goal, he practiced that in warm-ups. I'm sure you've seen it a million times. He would practice that shot every single time.
Like, well, that was the Montreal one.
Oh, the Montreal goal?
Oh, you're talking about Montreal. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, I was going to talk about that one too, because, like, why was he still in the far circle when the puck was going out?
Lazy back check.
he had a brain like that. He trusts, like, because he's playing with Hags. Hags knew him too, and Hags was so good defensively, and he could get back to disrupt anything, so Marty could take that chance. And, you know, we didn't have Marty when we had Torts, but, like, no one really kind of did that. That's like because, again, everyone would be like, well, what if this doesn't work out? Marty's like, it's going to work out, and he gets it. And if you watch that, you can watch that 1,000 times. I don't know how it went in. I don't know what hole it went through. I don't know the angle, how it passed. It didn't make – yeah, it was like – that was magic.
And it was honestly –
went in, we're like, what?
Yeah.
Outside the dot.
It was one of the only moments, and I've been to a ton of Rangers games. It was one of the only moments where it felt like time just stopped because he was all alone. So time just stopped and everybody got up at once because it was just one of those moments where it was like, this is it. And it was meant for like a Disney
game. Yeah, it wasn't easy, but it looked almost like easy. Like, we didn't get goals like that. We didn't win games like that. And it was just like, oh, give it to the Hall of Famer. He's just going to snipe one, bar down, and we'll get out of here. Like, and I was like, well, that was better. Thank God we got this guy.
so crazy. Speaking of goals, Dom Moore scored probably my favorite goal in Rangers history, just because that whole series, that moment going to the Stanley Cup as a fan was one of the greatest things ever for me. And they teach you growing up in hockey not to make blind passes. Was that a blind pass to the front of the net, or you knew Dom was going to be there?
Well, watch it again. Tell me if it was a blind pass. They asked me this. The morons in Toronto asked me that too. Did you see
shoulder check
in there? Because we scored a double overtime goal.
Oh, that play was nasty, dude.
That play was sick.
Kapanen?
Did you see Kapanen there? And I'm like, did I not put it right on his stick?
Uh-huh.
Like, the one with Dom, I knew where he was, and I had to get it to him. The best part of that play was Dom settling that puck because it was an absolute grenade.
Heater.
But I had to catch it on my backhand. I knew where he was, and I had to pass it hard because I didn't want it to get blocked. And it kind of went up on edge because the garden ice is so great, but it went up on edge, and he knocks it down. It was, like, this high off the ice, rolling, and he knocks it down and buried it. So, like, the pass might have looked nice, but it was an absolute grenade. And he buried it. It was awesome.
Yeah, no, it was one of those things when the puck – I know you saw him. I was just messing with you. The puck rims around, and you can see your head turn for a second. You knew where he was. was.
Well, I get like one assist every 19 games. So the ones that I actually made sure I tried on, I had to make sure that people know that, I saw him.
Well, that Kasper Kapanen assist was so fucking. I'll never forget where I was. I was at the baseball tavern in Boston watching that game.
Jimmy Rooney. He owns
watching
that
game. And that was so fucking sick. That pass.
That was fun. But and I think, I don't know who, somebody slashed John Carlson's stick out of his hands. So I'm just like, huh, why is he wide open? And I just like kind of laid it there and went in. Again, it was like, huh, I should have done that a while ago. That was so much easier. We had an offensive zone start for the first time, I think, in the 30 games I was in Toronto. And I was kind of like, are they sure we're staying out? And then it ended up working. Matt Martin was a savage on that shift, too. That was fun.
He's a great guy. I actually just worked his camp like 2 weeks ago. I got to know him pretty well.
He's a man. Dude.
But just one more thing in the 2014 run. I feel like we got to ask this question to everyone who comes on from that team. Had you had won the cup, you're in New York City, where would you have wanted to bring it? Like, we see teams now, like Vegas went to Omnia. You know, they partied with it till like 4 a.m. in Vegas this past year. You know, where would you have taken it in New York City had you won that night?
We did that one Oak and Avenue a little bit back then. That was a cool spot. I would have tried to get it on a plane to Orlando, because if we won, it would have had to be in 7, obviously, knowing us. And I was getting married. I was getting married 2 days later because the cup ended on like the 10th. But they were like, no, the last game 7's on the 18th. I'm like, well, I'm getting married in Orlando. And my rehearsal is on the 19th. But I didn't. We were freaking out at all. Like, my wife might have been, but my whole family was in Orlando while I was playing like game 5 in LA.
No way.
Yeah, and I was like, they're like, what? Where? What's going on? And I'm like, I can't talk. Just gotta keep playing here. Hopefully, no one notices. I'm not at my own wedding.
That's insane. Cool. At least they were all together though. You scored that nasty goal in game 5. That shorty, like the fake shot, like little curl. Snip on Jonathan Quick. How many times you watch that replay?
So I'm working with the 8-year-olds on like throwing it out to the backhand or faking a shot and pushing it. And I've only shown my son so far, but I'm like, here, just what I'm talking about. Check this out. And he's like, when was that? And I was like, I got this awful beard and the hair, and I missed the hair, but I'm like, that's what I'm talking about when you push. He goes, who's that guy? And then he asks a million other, who else was on your team? Show me more highlights from other guys. I'm like, I don't really have any highlights for me, but you can watch some other highlights.
Well, when Hags retired, I pulled up the clip of you making the pass on the shorty to his breakaway. That was another stand-up Rangers moment where everything felt like time shut down, and that was what a goal that was.
Same game, I think.
I didn't even think to look. But Mac Truck gets the puck and gives it to me. And I'm about to send it. And I, honest to God, I heard, this one time I was using the guard, we used the fans. They started screaming. Like, I could hear the crowd kind of start. So I'm like, what? And as I'm trying to, like, ice it, I passed, like, a 200-mile-an-hour puck to Hags on his backhand. The fact that he caught that pass, too, was, like,
insane.
Crazy. I'm like, what the hell is he doing way up there? And I hit, because we're on the penalty kill. Mm-hmm. And I hit him with it. I was like, holy shit, man. That was awesome. Nice move. Why were you up there? He goes, I don't know.
Do you have like a favorite garden goal that you were a part of? I mean, probably the Don Moore one I would feel like stands out the most, but.
That was a big one, right? Because we win that game and go to the cup. That one was. That's got to be one of them. I mean, there was one that Dom scored unassisted that was pretty funny in that Philly series. I put Hal Gill in, and his partner kind of put it in his skates, and Dom went in and scored. And then Dom celebrated, and he jumps, and he fucking cleans me out. And I'm like, there's a picture in, like, the paper of me, like, parallel the ice, and him. I was like, you should see the celebration. We're getting back. I'm like, so angry. It's like game 7. I'm mad at Dom for just running me over after scoring. Looking back now, it's like, it's a fond memory.
But I think that was the same game. I remember. I think there was one game that year you put home an empty netter and like sellied on it. And it was actually,
I did.
It was kind of sick. Did. Yeah, it was sick.
Yeah. Because I was like, goals were hard to come by with AV. Yeah. I wasn't allowed to cross the red line. And so we that made it 2-0 in game 7. And I was like, we just put them away. And the night before, we kind of got pumped, and Adam Hall was kind of trying to play his role, he kind of picked a fight with me, and I kind of beat him up pretty decent. And I was just like, from that moment, so jacked up about game seven. And then like, yeah, I sellied an empty net goal. That was something that I did. I'm not like proud of it, but I was like pumping the crowd up, screaming at him.
Do you get shit out in the locker room for that one or no?
No, I think just because of like our role and what we were doing. And I'm like, we just won a series. Like you're allowed to celebrate when you win a series. So, I mean, I try to tone down the celebrations with my kids because I never really celebrated that much. And empty netter, that's a tough look.
I want to go in a little bit, you know, now the following year, right, you signed with Tampa.
Yeah.
Play against the Rangers in the conference final. We got to ask, what's that like? And I think, you know, for Avery and I, just I don't want to speak for you, but we were, you know, I think 18, 19 at the time. Like, this is like peak Ranger fandom for us. And I still think, for me at least, that Tampa series hurts way more than losing in the Cup final to the Kings the year before.
That was a wild series because, like, we'd win a game and then we'd get blown out. Like, the Rangers team was so good, they blow us out. So they probably felt like they had us. It was really weird. It was really hard. I wanted to be a Ranger, and I didn't really get an offer. You know, I think, I don't know if there was a disconnect on term or how many years, but I never really got a real offer. So I was like, I guess I got to go to free agency in Tampa call, but that was, which was cool. So game one I missed because I had to get an injection in my back. So I missed game one and they tried to play, couldn't do it, flew down, got an injection, flew back, played game two, flew down that night with the doctors, got in at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., woke up, took my wife to the hospital. We had our son, our oldest. So the next night we played. So I don't really remember the games and how they all went. I remember Dom scored on us in game one, like off his shaft. Yeah, we lost that game. Then we won game two. I mean, then it was just like, I wasn't much of a help for our team. I was kind of just laboring, but it was, man, it was crazy. And then our game seven that we played was the best game we played all year. We gave them nothing. We were like clinical how, like Coop, what Coop did with like how we were going to defend and forecheck and gave him nothing and ended up scoring, you know, for sure one fluky goal. And then got a chance, like a fluky chance that ended up being a good goal from Platt. But Killorn's goal was just like, you need that bounce. You need to get lucky to win cups and to advance in the NHL. So I remember that. I remember like after the first period, I'm like, there's just no way we're losing this game. They have absolutely nothing. They have no answer. You know, Mac was hurt. He came on, I think he broke his foot and he was trying to skateboard to board and warm-ups, trying to break his own foot so it would feel better in his skate. And I'm like, we have him. We just got to lean on him a little bit, and we have him. The only wild card was Hank, and then we got the fluke goal, and I'm like, it's over. We're not giving him anything.
Yeah, I feel like on that other side, when once you drag the Garden crowd out, it kind of kills everything for the Rangers. And one of those things in that series is Brass has a hat trick in game six in Tampa. Yeah. Going back to the Garden game seven, I'm sure you guys were feeling a little nervous, and that and I'm – once that first period happened, then you guys felt a lot better. But going in, you were probably like, shit, we might lose this game.
Well, it was just, no, that was it. It was like, I think they hung six on us twice. And that's,
yeah.
Like, what are we doing? When we try to make some of these plays that made us successful during the regular season, when teams don't have 2 weeks to scout us and watch us, like, yeah, we're a fun group to watch. It doesn't matter now. We just need to win the game. And the fact that we were in really good shape, we had really good skaters, and the skill guys we had really did compete. And as evidenced by that, that core eventually went on to win. You know, they went to four cup finals and won two of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a nasty team. We also could check if we wanted to. And Coop was just like pleading with everyone, like, look, this is what we have to do. We'll suffocate and we'll get our shit. We don't need many chances. That's how much skill we have. Just do this for me. And we didn't get, I mean, they didn't get near our net. And that was just in game seven. They picked us apart in game six because we're running around everywhere. We just took care of what we had to in game seven, and it was a clinic.
How awkward was that handshake line for you?
Yeah, it was like, I've been there. It sucks, like, yeah, when you lose. But, you know, it's us or it's them, and it wasn't going to be us that time. that's just how it goes. And they would have, they would have been like, hey, man, great series. Sorry. You know, and I'd have been like, hey, good luck. And that's what they told us. Like, hey, go win one, man. Like, you know, that sucks that they're out. That's a long run. You know, that's seven series in 2 years for them. And then we should have won. We should have beat Chicago. I don't know how the hell we did still. But away she goes.
Yeah. I'm sure also a lot of the guys, I imagine, were supporting you and Cali. And was Strawman on that team too? Or
Yeah.
A lot of former Rangers on that team. But, you know, that's, again, like, I guess, I don't know. You can't really touch on it because you played for Tampa. But, yeah, I don't know. That series for us, just losing game seven on home ice is just – there's nothing worse than that.
It wasn't done really in that Hank era, right? It was like, it was an automatic, especially at home. Mm-hmm. But a couple guys on our side were undefeated in game sevens too. So we tried to use it. I did a lot more talking than playing back, but it was just like, guys, we got them. We knew they were banged up too.
Did it help out bringing you guys in? You guys have the Garden experience. Did you kind of like give a little bit of inside stuff to the players who hadn't really played in the Garden in that
pregame
that
speech?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think at that point, I mean, you've played almost 100 games in a season. I think we, you know, I gave as much info on certain players as I could before the whole series started. But, man, it was a young team, obviously, in Tampa, but that was such a good team. And now, it's Kucherov, it's Palat, Johnson. Tyler Johnson was, I mean, we don't get out of the first round without Tyler Johnson. He single-handedly beat Detroit for us pretty much.
He was on a tear.
I mean, it was nuts. And then, you know, we had Stammer, we had Bish, who was lights out. We had great D. Victor was playing out of his mind. So it was just, you know, but Bish was huge because he could play the puck so well and it took so much pressure off everybody else. I mean, Brendan Morrow in there, who had been around for a while, who's just an awesome guy and teammate, you know, Phil Pula, who had won with Detroit. We had a lot of guys with experience, and then those young guys were just, you know, Johnny, Cooch, and Palat. That line was like, how do you check them? Mm-hmm. Palat will run you through the boards. Johnny, you can't catch, and Cooch, you'll just dance around you.
So they were called the Conics, I think, at that time, right? So I think
they called them triplets.
Triplets. Yeah.
Well, we know you loved your time in Tampa. We could see in the background.
It was a gift.
Yeah.
The painting was a gift.
The painting was a gift, Todd. I actually, so now on the flip side of that, I think we'd be doing a disservice if we didn't ask about Rangers Penguins 2022, that comeback.
I cannot believe we lost that series. I thought we'd win in five, and we should have, or six, whatever. But we, I think we outplayed the Rangers. And then, you know, they grew up in that playoff and they got better as it went on. So it's not like, oh, we could have gone to the conference finals. We don't, you know, I'm not an idiot, but I think we could have. We had a pretty good team. And I don't know. Sid got hurt with that accidental Trouba thing that happens often. And so we, you know, that game six, I'm like, didn't really talk to anyone all day. And Sid ends up grabbing me. He goes, dude, don't, do not do anything crazy. Don't do anything stupid. I was like, no, I'm not going to do anything. And I ran him my first shift as hard as I could. He came, like, he flung around. His skate cut me open like a millimeter from a tendon because he spun around so hard I hit him. I mean, he pops right back up. My toe gets stuck in the boards and I tore my meniscus. It's the only shift I had that game.
Oh, my God.
And his last shift of my career. And
wow,
I was like, I should have listened to Sid on that one. that sicko was trying to play. He was like, I'm good. I don't know. Like, he was trying to play, and they wouldn't let him, which obviously you can't let him play. He's got a bit of a history, but he's like, he was on another planet in that series too. And, you know, you just, again, the bounces, the luck. Like, Louis played his heart out, but it, you know. Ajari was the reason we were as good as we were. He's I think, when healthy, an elite goalie in the league. Really, really good. He's nasty. People, but you know, he gets hurt, so people don't really. He plays through injuries. He's a tough bastard, and he's a competitor. But Yeah, I mean, it wasn't our time, and they were very opportunistic. They had a number of guys that wanted to play, make plays at the right time. Just how it went down. Then you know, big money guy scores an overtime game seven winner. It's like, yeah, all right. I was in a hotel next to a hospital that I was going to at 6 a.m. to get my knee surgery done, watching it.
Jeez.
And my wife, my whole family stayed back. My wife called me, and I like almost didn't answer the phone. I'm like, I don't. She's like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, I have to hang up now. I couldn't talk about it. I couldn't believe it. Because part of me was probably like, I'm going for knee surgery. You know, I had a pretty good year. I wanted to keep playing, but I knew like it might not happen. So I was just like, is it over now? And it was tough, man. It was really tough.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely made a career for yourself now too in media, though. I mean, if you can just touch on that a little bit. I mean, you're a natural on camera. You want me to do more network stuff this year?
Yeah, I'll go back to the network and do some more dates. You know, we kind of go 1 month at a time. I put my dates in for October. I got September off. There's not a ton of programming, and I have I got a lot of work to do here with the Twins. But, yeah, I'm coaching and helping with them. I'm doing some skill stuff, too, with kids if they want to. Kind of a different voice. I'm partnering with my buddy who's done it for a while, and I'll do some skills around here and just – but I was at the rink, you know, once a week this summer with the kids. I bought an hour of ice for them just to go and play with no coaches. And as long as they didn't beat each other up, they just played on. And I think that's more important for them than people telling them how to do C cuts and defensive zone stuff. I think you should just throw the puck out and let them go. The TV stuff, yeah, I really do enjoy it. It's just being around the game. I'd like to get better at it because it's I guess what I'm doing. So I want to be better at it. And it's different. It's not like Torch is telling you what to do. It's harder to get the criticism, but you know, I'm trying and it's been fun. I'm really lucky. I'm happy that they reached out the NHL Network to have that chance because it keeps me involved and it kind of scratches that itch. And you know, it's not easy, but I love it.
Before we let you go here, I got one more question. What was your favorite perk of playing for the Rangers?
You know what? So you could pretty much get in to any restaurant, like any hour, and no one really knew who you were. The restaurant did, and they let us in. So we kind of got those kind of perks and benefits without, like, it's not Brad Pitt walking in, like paparazzi swarming them. So you're under the radar, but you get the benefits. It was you know, and just like we all went to dinner, we all hung out, we all did everything together. It was like it sounds like every team does that. Like that team did it more than a lot of teams. And that was the coolest part. We're all in that together. We all know how tough it can be. And then if anyone was feeling a little sensitive, they didn't get any sympathy. It was. I'll tell you one quick one. Like Hank, you might have heard this story, but Hanky got a Lamborghini.
No.
And he had it detailed. And he says he didn't tell the guy to do this, but he shows up, and you know Lamborghini, they're cursive on the back. It says Lamborghini.
I don't
he shows
one,
up to practice. Yeah, I'll take you outside and show you my driveway. we go into practice, and it's. Someone saw it and they're like, did a double take, and it doesn't say Lamborghini, it says Lundqvist.
No,
but like out comes the white hockey tank, and we're putting it on everyone's car. We're writing in print, big letters, our names on our own car, and we're beeping at Hank, like, you know. And he comes in the next day and he's like, how come everyone picks on me? How come everyone, like, shut up,
yeah.
And then, like, 2 days later, it said Lamborghini on his back. His car. He pulled it right out. Like, all right, nice car, Hank. Did you get that
detail?
That's
so good.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
And, like, we don't go anywhere without Hank. We as a team, as a, you know, he was a great guy taking us out for dinner. Like, we, you know, he carried us on his back a lot of times as a team on the ice. He's the greatest dude ever. He's the hardest working guy I've ever played with. He's the man. How everyone speaks about him and what you think is you know, probably true because that's how awesome Hank is. But like, you're not getting away with that. And that was just kind of a little example on how we just kind of kept each other in check. It's just a great team to be on.
I guess my last one, who was like the biggest under the radar guy that was like, you know, super fun to hang out with away from the rink that maybe isn't talked about as much as a Hank would be?
Oh man. I mean, they're all like, we had, it's so much fun. Like Frosty, DZ, Stalzy's like, Stalzy's one of the funniest people.
He's hilarious.
Yeah. Danny G too. Danny G would talk to himself during the game. And you'd have to like, you have to be up a few goals, but in the third, he'd like break something up, make a play, and he'd like do this. And you could hear him telling himself like, oh yeah, you trying to get by me, man? Like, not today, buddy. And it was like, what the hell is going on with this guy? The funniest dude ever. And, you know, we had Derek Stepan's. He worried a lot, so we kind of gave it to him for worrying. He was like 4.5 seconds late for a car service to get out to the island. He's like sweating the whole way there. He hit five points that night. Like, it was like, oh, dude, it was so. Hags was the man, like, nicest dude ever. Like, just flowing locks. Hockey was easy for him. Mm-hmm. Brass was a beauty. Getting him in, we flew him in and Johnny Moore and Dorsett in on a helicopter, I guess, to the guard, and then a police escort when we traded for him. And Brass is like going around the room shaking everyone's hand. We're about to go out for warm up. I'm like, hey, nice to meet you. Go get dressed. We'll do this in 16 minutes. Like, yeah. You know. But guy, it was such a great mix of dudes.
The Girardi thing's funny. We've actually been talking to him a little bit about coming on. We're gonna have to send him that clip to have him come on and defend himself.
Dude, he's so funny. He's like one of the funniest dudes ever. Like, he's all time.
Well, Brian, we really want to thank you for taking the time to do this. And, you know, obviously don't want to take up too much of your time here with what you got going on at home. We know how hectic it could probably be. But thank you again, seriously, so much. And, you know, hope to cross paths with you this season.
Yeah, I think I'll be around. I'll be down at the garden a little bit, too, I think. Hopefully doing some alumni stuff because I haven't been back. I went to a practice, but I want to bring my boy down, my 8-year-old. He's dying to go. So we'll be down there. I'm in the mix. I'll be in Secaucus, too, so.
Here we go. We'll see you.
Look forward to it. I appreciate you guys having me on, too.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Brian.
Good stuff.
Really want to thank Brian Boyle for hopping on. We had him on for like almost an hour. Some unbelievable stories and super cool just kind of hearing his perspective on his time in New York. I know Ranger fans loved him. I don't know many Ranger fans that didn't like him when he was here. So I just want to thank him one more time. Cody, got any final thoughts before we wrap it up for the weekend?
Nah, he's a great dude. I wish I could have been part of that interview. But, LFGR.